I tell college students, don't be lazy about reading. Get into it. Learn all that you can because you're paying tuition. And you know what? When you graduate, you will graduate broke. But you know what's worse than graduating broke? It's graduating dumb. Graduating broke and dumb. Now that's bad. Broke is bad enough, but you're gonna graduate broke and dumb. Oh my goodness.
Aloha and welcome to Words of New Hope with Dr. Wayne Cordero. The Bible speaks of faith, hope, and love, and we'll talk about love tomorrow. But for now, Pastor Wayne is going to show us the importance of faith and hope. Hope is picturing God's plan for your life before it even comes to pass. Faith is living your life as if it already has. In a moment, Pastor Wayne has a message entitled, Setting Your Course. But first, here's a song performed at New Hope to help set the stage for today's message.
Face the world.
is Pastor Wayne with the message, Setting Your Course.
Would you take out your notes? And your notes will be irrelevant today, but take them out anyway, because they're actually going to be homework for you, but it'll give you some place to write because you're going to take a bunch of notes. Now, last night this message sort of stressed me out because usually I like to just open the Bible and just start speaking out of it. But today I want to take the Bible that's inside of me and just share. Is that all right? And when you leave today, my heart and desire is that you will leave with a new appreciation for your future, that you will not take casually the future that lies ahead of you. Because the older I grow, I have less future and more back end. Well, not literally, but more history, lesser ahead of me. And you got to plan that out even more so. And the scripture that God gave to us when we began the church was Jeremiah 29:11, which says, I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans not for your calamity, but for your welfare, in order that you might have a future and a hope. And from that came a new hope. Now, if God has plans for our future, do you think He'd like you to know those plans? What do you think? Absolutely. He wouldn't have plans and then not reveal them. So if God has plans for our new year, do you think you should know them? Yes. How are you going to walk in faith if you don't know His plans? How are you going to be obedient? So you need to know His plans. I want to encourage you and challenge you to do something that you may never have done before. And that is to do your best to sit before God and write out the plans that you think He has for you so you can walk in obedience and set your course. Now, you may not have done this before, but I want to encourage you to do that. Now, we're going to start with this. People say, what do you need to grab a hold of the future? Do you need more money, more contacts, more prominence? No. You know what you need? A greater amount of God's virtues. And today we're going to talk about the three greatest virtues of all. And it's found in the scriptures, and I want you to read it with me out of 1 Corinthians 13. Go. Now abides faith, hope, and love, and the greatest of these is... Now, what we're doing today is because we love God and what He has done for our future. He has paid the price. He has fashioned a future and a plan. And because we love God's plan for our future, we love Him and we want to have everything birthed out of love. But we also want to make sure that we have the other virtues of hope and faith. Today, I want to encourage you to fill your life, for your notes, fill your life with hope and faith. Fill your life with hope and faith. Some people ask me, Wayne, what's this new season going to entail? What does it have for us? Is it up, down? What do you think? Well, I'm not a futurist, but I do see something. I believe that this next season holds unprecedented opportunity. Now you say, well, wait a minute, we just come through a crisis. We have lost 9 million jobs and we've deficit spending, spent nearly $2 trillion. We're in deep weeds. What do we do? Well, it all depends on how you look at this next season. You see, it's the way that you have the position of your heart that will determine whether or not you're going to apprehend what God has for us. In fact, you can take a look at this last recession and you can say it will be remembered as the Great Recession, or it will be remembered as the recession that made us great. Depends on the way you look at it. I want to encourage you about the way you look at the future. It's going to be absolutely critical. It's what you make of it. Will it be remembered as the Great Recession, or is the recession that made us great? Some people say, does this next season hold for us opportunity? Absolutely, but you have to have the right eyes. You have to have the right way of perceiving things. Otherwise, you will miss it. You see, what a crisis does... As a crisis strips away all unnecessary things and it brings you down to fighting weight. When you're in the midst of a crisis, all the things that are unnecessary are jettisoned. You toss them aside, and only that which is most important becomes emphasized. And I want to encourage you to take this time of crisis and recession to say, I'm going to slim down to fighting weight, and I'm going to find out what's most important. I tell people, a crisis is a terrible thing to waste because it can make you great. So, as we talk about our future, what are some of the things that we need to make sure that we have in place? Here it is. I'm going to give you two things. It won't be in your notes. You can write it down, but here it is. Number one is this. We need to have the right philosophy. Now, it's not a college class. Philosophy is your perception of life, the way you perceive life. Matthew 6:22 says it this way. The lamp of your body is your eye. If your eye is clear, the way you see things, your whole body or your future will be filled with light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body, your being, your future will be filled with darkness. And if the light that is in you is darkness, how great shall that darkness be? So you'll need the right philosophy, the way you see things. You see, your philosophy sort of is like your perspective. In fact, it's really the faith that you live. It's not just your faith, it's the faith that you live. You see, because we can believe nice things religiously, but what is my default? When push comes to shove, what faith do I really live? That's your philosophy on life. It really is core principles that guide you. It's the stuff inside of you that helps you make decisions. It's like an internal guidance system. Do you have the right philosophy? Because that's how you're going to respond to a crisis, to a recession, to a financial setback, to opportunities. You'll know what to say yes to and what to say no to because you have a certain philosophy. Now, your philosophy in life is going to morph consistently. It's changing all the time, and it'll increase or shrink. You can have people that are Christians, as they grow older, they get more cantankerous rather than wiser and more insightful. They get more opinionated. See, their philosophy is shrinking. The people that will take a hold of the unprecedented opportunities in this next season will be those who have the right philosophy. And that's building. Those are basically the core principles that are going to guide you. That's that internal guidance system. Well, you say, well, how do you increase that so that you can start to see the opportunities? I'm going to give you a couple of things to make sure that you're building. But in this right philosophy, here's what I'd like to challenge you right off the bat. Renew your commitment to start learning again. This year, I'm going to encourage you to learn something new. I'm going to ask you to learn a new computer program. In fact, what you see me doing right now is a program called Keynote. And it was a program that I learned last year. This year, I've got a couple more programs that I'm going to dive into and learn. You've got to renew your desire, your commitment to learn again. You say, where do you start? Real simple. I'd say, start right where you are, something that you need, a computer program, something like that. In fact, Hosea 4:6 says this. Let's read it. Go. My people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge. Knowledge. Not religion, knowledge. Because we have lots of the other. Maybe it's time we start to develop a knowledge so that there is a value that we bring. Let me give you an economic principle. I'm going to make this real practical. How often I pray, Lord, would you help me to take the faith that we have and get it into the shoes where we walk? Well, I want to do that today. Are you ready? Everybody say yes. Yes. All right, here it is. Let me give you the economic principle of value. People will pay you for the value that you bring to your organization. People will pay you for the value that you bring to your organization, whether it's a teacher or a company or a church, that they will remunerate, they will increase the remuneration by the value that you bring. If you don't bring any value, when something happens, you'll be the first to go. You've got to increase that value. Now, here it is. Not only will they pay you for the value that you bring to your organization, they do the same, especially that and more, for the value that you become to your organization. Well, how do you increase that? Here's my advice. Learn another skill. Real simple. Learn another skill. Learn another skill. I remember I started off as a youth musician. Then I thought, you know, I'm going to learn sound systems and then lights. And then I wanted to learn organization, how I can organize and logistics. And then I thought, I'm going to write songs, learn that skill. And then I thought, I'm going to write books. And then I'm going to develop leadership, supervision, communication. And as you develop another skill, do you understand how you increase your future? See, if you only have one skill, you don't increase your future. You're just hoping and praying. And hope becomes wishful thinking. But when you increase your skill, your hope becomes an anchor, because what happens is you increase your future. Learn another skill. Find something that you can develop and increase, because if you will change, everything will change for you. If you will change, everything will change for you. And begin to do that. Learn another skill. Find out what you'd like to do. Learn it. I tell college students, now that you're in college, grab all the gusto you can. Don't be lazy about reading. Get into it. Learn all that you can, because you're paying tuition. And you know what? When you graduate, you will graduate broke. But you know what's worse than graduating broke? It's graduating dumb. Graduating broke and dumb. Now that's bad. Broke is bad enough. But you're going to graduate broke and dumb. Oh my goodness. That's bad. Unless you're stubborn. Then graduating broke, dumb, and stubborn. That's probably the worst. Unless you're ugly, then you're broke, dumb, stubborn, and ugly. Boy, that's about as far as you can fall. No, I'm just joking. But you catch my drift? Learn as much as you can. Here's what I say to people. Work on yourself harder than you work on your job. Work on yourself harder than you work on your job. Because if you just work on your job, you'll make a living. But if you work on yourself, you'll increase your future. Let me say that again. If you just work on your job, you'll eke out a living. But if you work on yourself, you will increase the potential of your future. So recommit your heart to start learning again. Remember Hosea 4:6, my people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge. So work on yourself. Do everything you can to make yourself more valuable. Because you see, fruitfulness, or the word is success, is not something you maneuver and manipulate and pursue. Mm-mm. Success is something you attract by being an attractive person. Success is something you attract. And the scripture says that God wants us to be an excellent people. See, the names of God, Jehovah Rapha, God is our healer, Jehovah Shalom, God is our peace, etc. The names of God depict his character. That's who he is. And in Psalms 8:1, it says, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name. If his name depicts his character, then what kind of God do we serve? We serve an excellent God. Now, if God created the people, his children, in his image, then we should be above all an excellent people. Work on yourself. It'll increase your future. It'll increase the value, because it's not just the value you bring to your organization, it's the value you become. Learn another skill. Develop people skills, organizational skills. So instead of just doing one thing, learn how to soothe disputes, how to work logistics, how to be an organizer. Develop team skills. All of these things will increase your value wherever you go. And it will also increase your future. Keep learning. Did you know that there's 20% new knowledge that enters the workforce every year? 20%. Brand new knowledge. If you're a teacher, 20% curricula, new curricula will come in. If you're a mechanic, 20% new knowledge and computer savvy or technology by which you work on cars and machines, etc. And if you're in the computer industry, the knowledge doubles every 18 months. That's how fast technology is moving. It doubles every 18 months. So, on the average, 20% new knowledge enters the workplace every year. So how long, multiply this out, how long, if you stopped learning today, and 20% new knowledge comes into the workplace every year, how long, if you stopped learning, would it take for you to become 100% obsolete? Less than 5 years. Less than 5 years. That's why you'll notice people in the workplace that stop learning. I can tell you, I can spot them. You know who they are? People that are possessive and territorial. Oh, that's my desk. Don't touch this. That's my stapler. Did you take my paper clips? Do you know this is my area right here? Don't come across the line. But why are they possessive and territorial? Because they've stopped learning and they see the new ones coming up and it's competitive. It's scary. It's intimidating. I'll tell you the best way to cut that stuff out, start learning again. That's how you increase your philosophy of life. So I want to encourage you to renew your commitment to learning afresh. So the first, in order to apprehend now the unprecedented opportunities of this new decade, is to have the right philosophy. Everyone say that. The right philosophy. The second is this. Not only the right philosophy, but we have to have the right attitude. The right attitude.
You've just heard part one of a message entitled Setting Your Course by Dr. Wayne Cordero. We'll pick it up right there on tomorrow's broadcast. Thank you for listening to Words of New Hope. Until next time, for Pastor Wayne Cordero, this is Del Gibbs wishing you God's very best and aloha.
No one would be putting brick upon brick, and then someone would come and say, excuse me, what are you building? You know, I have no idea. That would be foolish. They would take that person away and put him in a safe place with rubber walls. The clearer your picture, the better you build. And the clearer your target, the more you are apt to hit it.
What if there were a place where you could discover, develop, and fulfill your dreams? That place is New Hope Christian College.
New Hope Christian College is a place where everyone knows everyone. Your teachers really do care about you, they want you to succeed, and they're willing to partner with you to do whatever it takes to make that happen.
The education that I've received at New Hope has really equipped me to graduate market ready.
No matter where you come from, New Hope Christian College is a place where you can come to find community.
There's a place for you at New Hope Christian College. For more information, go online to newhope.edu or call 1-800-322-2638. New Hope Christian College, a place where dreams are released.